Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, should we teach Bible in the public classrooms, in the public schools? That's an issue before us and shall be with the legislative body coming in January with our legislative session. That issue, along with multitudes of other very serious issues on the agenda, we're talking about one of those today, and that is the public schools having Bible in the classroom as an elective. What do you think? Should it be? Do you think your students, your sons or daughters, the grandkids, should be taught Bible in the classroom? Is it permissible constitutionally? Is it legal? How should we stand? What should we do? What would be your position on that subject? 8310917. We're talking about what is now taking place in our public school system, the demoralization and the brainwashing of our students, and what is happening in that regard. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it is considered illegal, unconstitutional to teach the Bible in the public schools. Therefore, Johnny cannot read, Johnny cannot write, Johnny cannot spell, Johnny cannot do calculations of math. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that Johnny can't calculate math mathematically, all you need to do is go to any one of the fast food stores and give them a $10 bill and 2 pennies. If your bill is $5.52, give them a $10 bill and 2 pennies. And unless they had an electronic cash register to calculate it for them, they don't know what to do with it. In fact, they'll probably give you the 2 pennies back and say, no, I don't need that. But it's because they can't do math, and it's because when you look at the teachers' union, as our last caller was just talking about, the teachers' union robbing our schools, robbing our students of anything that's called academics. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe the teachers' union is wretched and rotten and is immoral and ungodly, go to your Google, if you will, and search the teachers' agenda, teachers' union agenda, the National Educational Association. Look it up, and on an annual basis, look at their planks of what they're promoting and what they're wanting to have as their agenda. It has nothing to do with academics. It is frightening when you look at it. The major promulgation of the agenda for the National Educational Association is pushing sodomite teachers, a sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda, murder by way of abortion, et cetera, in the classroom, and taxpayers are paying for it. We, the people, are paying for it, ladies and gentlemen. I am concerned with what we see taking place today. Our public schools are teaching everything but academics. It is sad but true. Our public educational teachers today are teaching Islamic ideology. They're teaching the LGBTQ agenda. They're teaching Planned Parenthood. It's nothing more than social engineering and brainwashing, and it will literally do everything teach them about God. Today, God, Jesus, the cross, the Bible are all considered illegal in the classroom, so therefore it's not being done. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello? We've lost our caller. He's tried to connect about a couple of times now already. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to put Bible back in the classroom. We need to put morals and ethics and values back in the classroom. We need, ladies and gentlemen, to allow the students to promulgate and push it. They say that by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in 1962, 1963, that we cannot have prayer in the classroom or Bible in the classroom. But ladies and gentlemen, go back and study those decisions. It did not say that you could not have Bible. Bible can be taught as a history text, a history book, and that's what we're talking about. I believe we have the caller back on the line. Go with the question or comment, please. Hello? Hello, go ahead with the question. Hello? Well, he can't hear us, so we can't hear him, one or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the need to put the Bible back in classroom. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood.
Hey, you realize- welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Yeah, I've been under the weather. What we are is we're at a point now where the newspaper is believed over the Bible. When I go in a Minute Market to get a Coke, I ask people, millennials, do you believe the newspaper or the Bible? It's shocking. They will tell you they believe the newspaper. So I really think that's our problem. They don't realize those prophets that wrote the Bible, if their prophecy didn't come true, they were killed. But the editor of the newspaper could write anything he wants with impunity.
Well, while you're saying that, let's do a little switcheroo, as I'd call it. The same is true in the classroom. That teacher standing before your sons, your daughters, our grandkids today, the students in the classroom, when that teacher stands to speak, he speaks with total authority. When that teacher says do something, the students do it. When the teacher says fill out this form, answer this survey, they do it, because that is the authority. That authority figure in the classroom is making mush, as Rush Limbaugh calls it, out of the brains of our students in the classroom, because they would rather believe the authority of that teacher than the authority of a Christian mom and dad or the authority of the Word of God, just as you've just said.
That's true. That is very true. But it is sure taking us in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. Do you think that we need to have Bible in the classroom? Do you think that is sufficient? Okay. What do you think about it? Is it good or bad?
That's the answer, because that's the only truth. That's the cream de la cream of truth is the Bible.
Well, there are a lot of people that are saying that if the Bible is taught in the classroom, in fact, one dear parent said, and I'll talk about it later in the broadcast, I don't want a lost teacher teaching my son or daughter the Bible. There last year, when it was House Bill 195, promulgated by Kimberly Daniels and had Mike Hill as one of the co-sponsors and others, it was locked up in committee because even our House and Senate in Tallahassee is controlled by the Republicans. But yet the Republicans listened to those that were the purveyors of an attitude that said we can't teach Bible in the classroom, so they bent and bowed to that. Kept it locked up in committee. The Republicans kept it locked up in committee, wouldn't even let it get out for a vote on the House floor. And so we find that there's a great need, and we'll talk about it in this broadcast, a great need for every parent, for every citizen, for everybody in the state of Florida to call, email, or write our legislators in Tallahassee and say, pass House Bill 341. House Bill 341. We're going to talk about that. In fact, we're going to read that bill on broadcast today and let you hear the essence of that bill yourself. But I am thankful for your call. Keep on praying. Get on the telephone and call others. Tell them to tune in. Also, invite them, encourage them, challenge our citizens in the state of Florida to call, email, or write our legislators to say, pass House Bill 341. They won't go into legislative session until January. They're now having things in committee, discuss it in committee. And the only way that this can be done is if we put the pressure on the House and the Senate to get it out of the committee and allow it to go on the House floor in January. But thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about should we teach Bible in the public classroom? It is, as I just said to our recent caller, the professors, the teachers, stand as authority figures in the classroom. They're going to believe and do whatever the professor or the teacher says. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that illustrates that very fact. Middle school asks kids personal questions about vaginal sex, oral sex, and homosexual attraction. Here's some of the questions. And it's a questionnaire. I'll give you a further follow-up on it in this same article after I've read some of the statements. In the past 12 months, have you used someone else's prescription for a doctor or health care provider or a non-prescription for any store, drugstore, to sleep, stay awake, calm down, etc.? Question number two, have you ever had any type of sex? And then it gives all the variety of sex types. This is to students now that are not even in high school. These are students that are 10 and 11 years old that these questions are being asked, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being paid for by our taxpayer dollars in the public school system, and yet there's a remonstration and a pushback that we cannot teach Bible in the public classroom. I don't know about you. If you think that I sound passionate about it, it's because I am. If you think that it sounds as though I'm excited and overly excited about it, it's because I am. It's because what is being done and said today is antithetical to what we ought to do and the biblical truth that needs to be taught. Question is, have you had sex? Do you always use any method of prevention of sexually transmitted diseases and infections? And it goes on with the different preventive measures. Do you have questions about abstinence, anything about sex and birth control, HIV, next question. During the past 12 months, did you often feel very sad or down as though you had nothing to look forward to? Ladies and gentlemen, these are questions that's being asked on a survey in the classroom, 10 and 11-year-old students in the public classroom, without parental authority, without parental knowledge, without the parental consent in any fashion whatsoever. Further, the questions, do you have any serious problems or worries at home or at school? Another question, in the past 12 months, have you seriously thought about killing yourself, tried to kill yourself, or have you purposely cut, burned, or otherwise hurt yourself? This article then says, our children are being hypersexualized and exposed to highly inappropriate content from every angle. The media, health services, and the public educational system, all dominated by the sex-obsessed progressive left's effort to invade private life and raise up an entire generation of promiscuous, gender-confused people. No school system, seems to be off-limits to this sinister agenda, even in traditionally conservative red states. At middle school in Oakland, Louisiana, students are being repeatedly given a grossly inappropriate and sexually explicit questionnaire and survey. For example, some Oakland middle school parents are outraged after their kids were asked to take a survey at the school-based health center. Some questioned parents say crossed the line completely. Further, this article says these questions are completely inappropriate to be asked middle school age students. Kids in middle school should not be concerned about sexual activity, yet their school is pushing them to conform to the idea that they are not developmentally ready. Children are naive. They go to school and know they have to listen. They're going to do what they're told to do. If you put them in a room and tell them to take a survey, they're going to take the survey. It was pointed out. This point cannot be stressed enough. Children are most vulnerable when they are at school. Sometimes the LGBTQ activists are very well aware, and they use this to their advantage. And ladies and gentlemen, we have placed our students in a position that they are open prey to the perverts and the pedophiles of the LGBT community and the LGBTQ activists in the classroom that are actually the teachers and the purveyor of the immoral, ungodly, unholy things that's being taught to our students in school. And yet somehow, some way, some naive, immature, or otherwise ignorant Christians are saying we can't teach the Bible. And yet we're teaching every other perverted idea and thought that could be considered on the face of God's green earth. I believe we have a call on the phone. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you for continue to be faithfully sounding the alarm. I'm in full agreement with what all that you have been saying. Could I let me? Let me turn my radio off, please. One second.
I am thankful that there are those that will take a stand and willing to voice that stand and opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Is that telephone number? Go ahead with your statement.
Comment. Okay. Yes, we your views, full agreement with them. We have given place to the enemy, and he has seized control, and it really wreaking havoc, and the lot of the blame is at the foot of the door of the church, the ministers, and he has taken full control of our education system, as you have been saying, and that is what is. So education is no longer the priority, as you have been pointing out. Our children is as you say, brainwashing, and they are taught to hate the country rather than patriotism. I am just praying. I have some praying seriously that our president, he has been courageously doing a number of things. I'm praying seriously that himself and other believers who are in Congress, the vice president, that the time will come when they would realize that it's spiritual warfare, they're dealing with things beyond themselves, and he will have the courage to go back to where we have made a mistake, as you say. The mistake has been leaving out prayer when usually we know what it is to pray to God in this country, and the Bible, removing the Bible from its place. It was made the main books in every institution, the hymnal and the Bible, and removing it. So I'm really praying that Donald Trump who has been courageously doing the tackling a lot, if God would just lead him to tackle this and put back prayer where it belongs. As you say, come the next election in 2020, we might have so much more Muslims, because this is the aim, to take over, take control of the Congress and control the country completely. And this is where we're going. We start already and we see how vocal two can be. So you can imagine when in 2020 we have 5-6 more than that, because they are going all out with their agenda to take control of our country.
As you said, what we need to do is pray and ask God to continue to bless our president. By the way, just a little insert of thought here, the thought about putting Bible back in the classroom, President Donald J. Trump is for it. And I'll read you that article in just a moment as we continue the broadcast on that subject. But we keep on praying and asking God to intervene and give us wisdom, and asking God to allow the Christians, motivate Christians to speak up, stand up, to get involved in the process and not just sit in the closet in silence. We need to be salt and light. But I really appreciate your call and your input. It's always a delight to hear from you. Thank you so much today, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding is that even the Supreme Court is not willing to take a stand on the issue of what's being taught in our classrooms today and those things that are antithetical to morals and ethics and values. Here's an article that says Supreme Court has no problem with the teacher forcing Christian students to voice Islamic prayer. This is Dateline U.S. Supreme Court, October the 15th, 2019. U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday declined to take the case of a public school teacher who required her students to recite the Islamic conversion prayer or receive a failing grade. The Thomas More Law Center is defending Kaylee Wood, a Christian student, 11th grade, at the La Petite High School in Maryland. Wood refused to deny her faith by making a written profession of the Muslim conversion prayer known as the Shahada. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger of Allah. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the teacher did not violate the Establishment Clause. Let me pause there, ladies and gentlemen. The appeals court in the Fourth Circuit said that this teacher that was requiring the students to recite the Shahada, the conversion prayer to Islam, the appeals court said that that was not a violation of the Establishment Clause. The Establishment Clause says Congress should make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so under that rule, the Supreme Court says that the teacher did not do a violation of that. The article further says Wood also had been forced to view a series of Islamic promotions, PowerPoint slides, including one casting aspersion on Christians that said, quote, most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian's faith. Richard Thompson with the Thomas More Law Center, chief counsel, said he's not aware of any public school which has forced a Muslim student to write the Lord's Prayer or to write John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life, end quote. Yet under the pretext of teaching history or social studies, public schools across America are promoting the religion of Islam in ways that would never be tolerated for Christianity or any other religion, he said. It's disappointing that Supreme Court did not take the opportunity to clarify the test which lower courts should use when ruling on Establishment Clause and free speech challenges to public school classes of religion. Thomas More contends the school violated the First Amendment exercise of the establishment of the free speech clause when it ordered in the classroom that the student have the assignment that she could not complete in the violation of her faith. Ladies and gentlemen, this article goes where across America the research has been done. 2015, 2016, 2017, 2006, 2009. I don't have time to read them. Where the case after case after case after case where Islam is being forced in the public classroom, and you're worried about teaching the Bible, the Word of God, in the public classroom when it's being done today, teaching the Shahada and trying to get students to fall down on a Muslim prayer rug and recite the Shahada, that is conversion to Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that it is a surprising thing, and yet it ought not to be, when we're in the society today where that is being done, where deviant sexual perversions are being taught under sex educational guidelines. Videos, books, and presentations would shock the porn industry today. It's being taught in the public classroom, and it's called sex education. Students are told that Allah is God, and the same as our God, that Allah is the same God. and Islam is a peaceful religion. And I could go on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, surprise, coming out, middle school assembly angers parents. Most parents don't like to know, don't like to be the last to know what's being presented to their children in the school. Dayton, Ohio area families are appalled to learn about a school-wide assembly held with a middle school in the middle school. No advance parental notices were given for this event in conjunction with Homosexual Transgender National Coming Out Day. Schools are regularly observing special days and weeks as part of the coordinated LGBTQ agenda. And it goes on to talk about what they're doing in the 11-year-old, 10- and 11-year-old classrooms with Coming Out Day, urging the students to come out and to admit that they have propensity to a homosexual lifestyle and living. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a perversion, and it's being done under the LGBTQ agenda, the Planned Parenthood agenda, and it's a recruitment process to grow the business of the LGBT. Keep in mind, a pervert, a sodomite, cannot reproduce. Only thing they can do is recruit. And our schools and our classrooms are becoming the fertile ground for recruitment, for murder by way of abortion, and also the LGBTQ agenda, promoting the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the article. Kimberly Daniels submits bill, Bible bill for the Florida schools. A proposed bill in Florida is drawing attention even before it hits the floor of the House of Representatives for its requirement that Florida high schools include a Bible elective among their courses. An assembly and a seemingly identical bill that was stalled last year, House Bill 195, introduced by Representative Kimberly Daniels of Jacksonville, and it has no, and she says she's not backing down this year. If passed, House Bill 341 will go into effect July the 1st of 2020. This is the second time Daniels has brought this bill before the House. In January of 2019, she filed an essentially the same bill, House Bill 195. It died in subcommittee in May, and now Daniels is taking up the cause once again for the 2020 session. Further, the article says House Bill 341 will require Bible classes in Florida high school classes. Schools in Florida currently have the option to offer religious studies classes as an elective, but Daniels' bill will make it a requirement for all schools to offer such classes. Early this year, on Daniels' first attempt, she argued that such studies do not violate the Constitution since they would be taught objectively, citing 1963 U.S. Supreme Court opinion on a similar case that backs up her argument. It's important to note that while the proposed bill would require schools to offer the courses, it would not require students to take them unless they elect to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would allow me and indulge me for just a moment, this bill is about 1¾ of a page long. I'm not going to read all of the bill, the preamble, the introduction to it. But number one, it says the district school shall install in public schools in its district a secular program of education, including but not limited to, number one, an objective study of religion, number two, an objective survey of the Bible, including but not limited to, a course on the Hebrew Scriptures and the Old Testament of the Bible, a course on the New Testament of the Bible, and a course on Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament of the Bible, and the New Testament of the Bible. A student may not be required to use specific translation of the Scriptures. Further, it says, the Department of Education must include the courses in the course code directory. Secondly, a course offered pursuant to this section must, number one, be offered as an elective course for the students in grades 9 through 12. Two, follow all state and federal laws and guidelines in maintaining religious neutrality and accommodating the diverse religious views, traditions, and perspectives of all students in the school. A course offered pursuant to this section may not endorse, favor, or promote, or disfavor, or show hostility toward a particular religion, religious perspective, or non-religious faith, end quote. Can't be any clearer. It is succinct, very clear, and in great brevity, so there cannot be any misunderstanding of what the bill is about. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, should we teach the Bible in the public classrooms? Here's an article that says, Biblical Literacy in Schools to Expand with State Legislation. Legislators from the Bible Belt to the Dakotas are mulling bills that would establish biblical literacy courses in high schools, but some education analysts say classes focused on Bible's cultural and historical relevance already offered in public schools in those states and elsewhere. An educational official in Indiana said students in the state have been able to study the Bible, Bible-based literature now for some time. Nearly a third of high schools in Iowa offered religious education courses last year. When Kentucky lawmakers overwhelmingly passed the bill to standardize rules for social studies in 2017. They also included Bible teaching on a literacy basis in the schools. Quote, I don't think it's the lightning rod that everyone says it is, said Mr. Johnson, a Republican from Owensboro, who lost a tight race for his seat in November. This wasn't a big deal in the 60s. I had a grade school teacher who read to our classes out of the children's Bible, and that time of her reading to me was had motivated me to become the reader that I am today. President Trump expressed his full support for the biblical education last week, tweeting, numerous states introducing Bible literacy classes, giving students the option of studying the Bible, stating to me that we ought to do that. He says that is great in his Twitter about the Bible being taught in the public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be teaching perversion in the moral, unethical, ungodly, unholy realm, if we're going to be teaching Islam in the classroom, and it ought not to be on that basis, but it's happening across the nation today, if we're going to be teaching porn in the classroom and calling it sex education, we need to do something for our students that will give them a moral, ethical, fundamental foundation in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Florida and the King James Version of the Bible. One thing that the Bible does teach is wisdom, said Representative Mike Hill, co-sponsor of the bill last year with Kimberly Daniels. I don't think anyone could deny that we desperately need wisdom in our public schools right now. The King James Bible is considered one of the two or three greatest works of literature in all of Western civilization. This is a class that recognizes that and focuses on the languages of the book called the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment not only bars the establishment of religion by the states, it also guarantees that individual Americans have the right of the free exercise of their religion or non-religion. Congress shall make no laws prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Public school children, being citizens of the United States, also have a right for the free exercise of their religion, even in the public classroom. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is something that we ought to recognize, that if we say that it cannot be done in the classroom, that is a demonstration of hostility toward religion, and the Constitution does not allow that at all. Some of those that are saying we should not teach the Bible in the classroom, one says, I personally feel a large majority of students wouldn't care about the class, said one person. Another one says, a collegiate high school student says, I don't agree with the bill. Another one says that if we're going to do that, we need to teach the Torah and the Quran and all of these other stuff and the separation of church and state. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to be the case. We need to recognize that as parents, we have the responsibility of teaching the Word of God. The Scripture says in Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligent to thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest up in thine house, and when thou walkest, and by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say yes to the Bible in the public school classroom. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.